Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now, one of the biggest free agent acquisitions of all time when he made that decision to take his talents to The Athletic.
Wow.
And that is the great Frank Isola.
Where was the press conference, Frank?
Well, it's not like I have any other options. I'm not like LeBron, right?
I could have gone anywhere. Options. You could have gone to the Post, right? No, maybe not.
No, they didn't want me there.
They weren't going to dump Berman?
I actually started there.
Did you? I don't remember that. You started at the Post?
Yes, I did. Many moons ago. When I was in college, I was like a college intern, basically. You know, when I was in the office, you'd have Phil Mushnick would be in there.
Right, right.
Peter Vesey. I would see all the guys.
Right.
Steve Serby.
Peter Vesey.
All the boys.
He's still around. I'm following him on Twitter.
What does he do now, Vesey?
Tweets.
That's all. He doesn't write for anybody.
He's still
anymore,
got info,
right?
Man. I'll tell you that.
No, he definitely does.
He's living out in his mansion out in, I think it's Shelter Island.
Nice. Really? He's living on Shelter Island? God bless him, man. That's a beautiful place. Yeah. I once drove there accidentally. You know, you have to take your car on a boat.
You didn't drive there accidentally.
Yes, I did. I know. That's what I'm saying. I got there, and they said, you can actually drive into this boat, and you stay
really?
In the car.
They wouldn't allow me.
And they take you onto this island. I got there, and I was like, this place is crazy. And the one thing I noticed, I stopped to eat. Damn expensive. Oh,
wow.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
I could imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
All those places out there. I was out there over July 4th weekend. I'm still paying off my credit card bill.
I can imagine.
From the three days I spent out there.
I can imagine.
Expensive. What are you, before we talk Knicks and basketball, what are you doing at The Athletic? Are you covering the New York basketball scene in general?
Or just
what are you doing?
Yeah, you know, Knicks, Nets, a little NBA. The Knicks are absolutely thrilled that I landed on my feet at The Athletic. I heard that they called up. Over there. They were very excited.
Dolan gave you a reference, didn't he?
we can't wait to have them. You know, the Knicks are being patient this year, as opposed to the last 17 years where they were being impatient. Now this year is the year of being
you don't
patient,
buy it?
So she works out.
You don't
no,
buy
no, I do. I think no, I think it's a smart, clever,
no question
kind of way of doing things. Because if you get Kevin Durant on July, you know, some point in July, you'll throw patience out the window. If you don't get him, you say, "Well, we're just being patient. We'll work with the young guys," which is the right way to do
but
it.
But you know what? That's what you should do.
Yeah, that's what they should be doing, Frank.
If you're the Knicks or the Nets, sure, you're getting young, you give yourself cap room, and if you can get an elite free agent, great, let's have a party. If you can't, you can still use cap room as a very valuable weapon. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. But I also laugh, too, though, because I think it's a smart way to do it. And, you know, to Steve Mills, Scott Perry, to their credit, that's what they're doing. But I love the new regime. There is no new regime. You know, Jim Dolan's been there forever. Steve Mills has been there for 17 of the last 20 years. It's not necessarily a new regime. It's just a new way of doing it. Like, you know, everybody likes to create this narrative like it's a new regime. It's not a new regime. Mm. It's the same people. They're just doing it this way now because, you know what, in the NBA, fans are patient with this stuff. Fans love the draft. So even the fans of the Philadelphia 76ers, they easily forget that they drafted Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, and who knows about this kid Markelle Fultz. They do know that, hey, 1 year we got Ben Simmons, and 1 year we got Joel Embiid, so it was worth it.
Right,
and I think, you know, fans kind of buy into that now. They believe, but I've said it before, you know, Sacramento, Phoenix, Orlando, they go into the draft lottery a lot as well. How's it working out for those teams?
Mm. Well, it's true. But at least, you know what, it's better than trading away all these number one picks they did every year.
No, 100%. And if you're going to do that, you know, you kind of do like, you know, Danny Ainge. You know, the Celtics are in a position where I think it's Memphis's pick and maybe Phoenix's pick. They actually could, or maybe it's Sacramento's pick. They could actually end up this year that they can't get the number one overall pick, but they can end up with the second and ninth pick. That would be a best-case scenario for the Boston Celtics. Can you believe that?
That is unbelievable.
With all they have, I mean, the job that Danny Ainge
unbelievable
has done, and you know that they're gearing up to, if it were to happen, could they make a run at a guy like Anthony Davis, and who knows? Maybe they could do something with Kevin Durant if Durant and Kyrie Irving really do want to play together, and if Kyrie Irving was going to stay in Boston. So, like you said, though, to your point, the fact that the Knicks have these first-round picks, because the last one I think they traded away was Bargnani.
Right.
Before Bargnani, and that's Maron. That turned out to be
Greg Grunwald, Grunwald that did that.
Yeah, but I think the owner also was kind of pushing that. He felt the team, because that was coming off a loss to Indiana.
Yeah, that was after the playoffs.
And they felt like the team was, you know, Jim Dolan felt the team was too old. But, yeah, there were a lot of old players, and a lot of them were going to go away. Like Rasheed Wallace was going away. All of them did. Jason Kidd. But having those old guys on the team was actually very good for Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith. You know, Carmelo finished third in the MVP that year. I think that might have been the year that J.R. won.
Yeah, he did.
Sixth man of the year. You know, So, yes, but in theory, the roster was old. But, you know, you don't really win with just young guys. You need that good blend of older players. And really, the best season that the Knicks have had in the last 17 years was that team, which, by the way, beat Miami three times that year.
Yeah. They wouldn't have beat him in the playoffs, though. I mean,
I don't think so.
The
either,
Brooklyn Nets destroyed the LeBron Miami Heat. What happened when they played in the playoffs that year?
No, I understand it, but I
know that
think
from
that
experience.
That
means nothing.
I also think but that Knicks team did win 54 games, and I think the combination of, you know, guys that they had that year, Jason Kidd, I think they could have given Miami a run for their money. I'm always going to bet on the best player. I think that LeBron would have figured out a way to beat the Knicks, but that should have been the year that the Knicks made the conference finals. They have nobody to blame but themselves.
They should have, of course.
Well, you know what, what I think was a big factor here, and he'll be the first to admit it, and he admitted it during his Hall of Fame speech, is Jason Kidd just lost it. He lost it. He was so important to that team, and he lost it at the worst possible time. Couldn't have shot.
Yeah, that's true, but I think also the Knicks got a little arrogant. I think it was that game five at home against Boston where they were going to wear black to a funeral.
Oh my.
They lost the game. Then they had to play the game six.
Yep, and almost blew that game. Had a 30-point lead with 11 minutes to go, almost blew the game.
And the thing was, they had to play game six on a Friday night.
Yep.
Then game Sunday. One against Indiana on a Sunday afternoon. So the quick turnaround really affected them. If you remember, I think it was Tyler Hansbrough and DJ Augustine both had a terrific game off the bench for Indiana, and Indiana won that game. The Knicks never had a lead in that series.
No. Well, once they lost that first game at home, I knew they weren't winning. I don't think the Knicks have ever lost the first game at home and won a playoff series, ever. So.
What about when the Ewing team beat Boston in five games? They would have lost on the road.
No, that was on the road.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're talking to Frank Isola.
Enough with talk down memory lane. Let's look forward.
Yes,
now.
Let's look forward. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, because we've been going through it, and I don't think it's that important, but I'm curious. The win total for this basketball team, because I just think the Knicks are a low 20s kind of team, which is not the worst thing in the world, considering I think most Knicks fans want to win the lottery. Win total-wise, realistic expectation for this team this year is what in your mind?
What is Vegas having at? 28 games?
Yeah.
I think it's too high.
So does the Meadowlands. I would think like between 25 and 34, maybe they could win. I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, who knows what the deal is with Porzingis? And, you know, so you're relying on a lot of young players. You're going to hope that the kid Kevin Knox develops. You know, Cantor scores and rebounds, so he's going to put up big numbers. He'll be a good fantasy player for people who do play fantasy.
Yep.
And you hope that Hardaway continues to develop, and you hope that Kevin Durant cable's not working when the Knicks are on, when he has an ability to watch him, because he's going to be thinking, you really want me to go join this team? But I think around that 28 neighborhood is pretty accurate.
What do you think of Fizdale overall?
I think he's good. I think it's funny because, you know, all these years the Knicks were doing everything they can to distance themselves from Jeff Van Gundy, which of course you should, because that was the last coach to have any real success there. But it's almost like they're kind of going back to that. You know, it's a different, you know, David Fizdale's much younger. Mm-hmm. The NBA is a little bit different. But he's still kind of coming from that Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra school. And I think he knows that the way things should be done. I think he'll learn from his first trip that they had in Memphis. You know, when he kind of feuded with Marc Gasol. It happens. And, you know, we've seen even Doc Rivers. You know, his second job was with the Boston Celtics, and early on, you know, they struggled. They had some crazy streak where didn't they lose like 18 in a row or something like that? And Danny Ainge stuck with him. And I think his second time around for Doc Rivers, going from Orlando then to Boston, I think he did really well. So I don't have a problem with this at all. I think he comes from the right type of background. I think he's pretty realistic about the team. He seems to be pretty demanding, which is good. I only had one problem with him at his press conference. He's an L.A. guy, and he claimed that he grew up rooting for the Knicks. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, no, I find, yes.
You're growing up in L.A. Yeah, when Magic Johnson is playing?
Yeah, no way.
You're a Knicks fan?
No way.
Or, you were a fan of Rory Sparrow? I don't know.
He doesn't need to do that.
Bernard King.
You know, guys don't need to do that.
But I do think this. I do think that when guys come here who aren't from New York, I think they always feel this, like, obligation to mention Mecca of basketball. And I get it. New York basketball, for a lot people in New York love basketball, but in terms of New York being great in basketball, like, look at college basketball. Look at guys that come into the draft. How many of them are actually from New York anymore?
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah. Kareem and Julius, that's a long time ago. Bernard King, a long time ago, bro.
Mo Bamba, though, is from Harlem. But the point is, but I think, like, guys come in and they get, like, intimidated. They feel like they have to say this stuff. Or just, you know, just be yourself. You grew up in L.A., you're a Laker fan. Just say, you know what, it'd be great one day if the Knicks and Lakers were playing the finals and I'll beat the Lakers. Yeah. I don't know, something like that.
No,
by the way, Mo Bamba's hilarious. I love LeBron James' new TV show. I got to admit, it's really,
he's
really
good.
He's
got a TV show?
Yeah, it's called The Shop. And he's
what is it called?
He's got a TV show now.
That's fantastic. I'm dead serious. It's fantastic.
Wait. That's the show where they all agree with everything he says, because that happens in a barbershop all the time.
Are the Kardashians involved?
No, not at all. And I do understand your point. Here's the show. All right, they're at a barbershop, and it's Maverick Carter, who's his guy,
right,
LeBron,
right. That's his agent,
and then they bring in either three athletes or three or four celebrities, and they talk about everything. I mean, just everything known to man. And there was two things I saw in the last episode. My wife loves it, too. And she don't even care about basketball. Victor Oladipo has a beautiful singing voice. Oh, that's one thing that came out of it. The second is they're talking to Mo Bamba, who's from Harlem, right? And Mo Bamba says, you know, a lot of people come up to me and they say, do you speak English? They think I'm, like, not from here.
Right.
And so he's like, you know, I got offended a little bit. But then I play along and I say, no English. And I love it. I don't have to talk to anybody. LeBron's like, man, I wish I could do that. Yeah. It was very funny. I think it's a very funny show.
What network is this on?
HBO. Curses. It's very real. Yeah,
My issues with very real.
Yeah. Mo Bamba, I thought was real. I thought Mo Bamba was real. Go ahead.
Hang on a second. Yeah. The first show, Draymond Green is sitting there with a gigantic glass of red wine.
Yes.
You go to a barbershop, and the first thing you think about doing is drinking red. With all that hair flying around, you're thinking about drinking red wine.
Well, hold on a second.
Draymond Green is drinking. And then
Frank,
there's no debating. There's no debating going on.
It's been on for two episodes. How the hell do you know we're not going to get that at some point?
Did he bring his own wine? Did he bring his own with him? BYO?
BYOW.
You know what? If he has Charles Barkley in there, it'll be good
because then
there'll be some debate. The first show that they did had Draymond Green and Maverick Carter said, is it okay for LeBron to go around calling himself the best player in the world? Like, that's really a topic. And then Draymond Green, why not have the topic, hey, Kevin Durant has just beaten, was the finals MVP in the last two series. Do you feel like he's closed the gap on you?
Okay, you should be the producer, but it's been two episodes, and honestly, the second episode was a lot better than the first one. I kind of agree.
They all agree with everything he says.
It's not about debating, though. They had Drake is talking honest about what happened with him and Kanye. We had not heard anything about that.
Isn't Drake the big Raptor fan?
Yeah. Well, Eddie Murphy
came up with the concept. He had it in the movie Coming to America. The whole time that he's playing those characters are at Cineo Hall. All they're doing is debating sports. They're not all agreeing with each other. That's my only point.
But why can't there be
a dissenting voice?
Okay, I'd like to see that at some point. All I'm saying is that in the second episode I watched, I thought Mo Bamba, I learned a lot about the kid. Mm. I thought it was fascinating. The fact that Victor Oladipo started singing and I hear this
operatic voice?
No, like
Oladipo?
It wasn't operatic.
I don't know. I mean,
hey, Evan.
What? You know, is it Marvin Gaye?
Victor Oladipo walked out on the court at the Barclays Center for the slam dunk contest singing. Where have you been?
Oh, I didn't see that. I guess I didn't care about the slam dunk contest that year.
You care about LeBron.
The show's okay. What are you going to sue me for? I mean, what do you want from me?
We've had more debate about the show than they have on the show.
It's been two episodes. Can you let it breathe? Who knows? Maybe after three episodes, I'm going to come in and say, Joe, the show sucks.
Wow.
Now I don't like it. I don't know. Anyhow, what were we talking about? The Knicks?
I think.
Ntilikina. Let me ask you about him. What do you need to see from him in year two? Because his first year was uneven. You know, it was starts and stops. We know the kid can defend. The question I think is going to be, can he develop an outside shot? Can he be a playmaker? Give me your thoughts on what to think and expect from Frank in year two.
Little known fact, he's got a beautiful singing voice, so you'll like him.
All right.
I like Milutino a lot. I thought, you know, him coming in here last season, you know, you're getting drafted by Phil Jackson within a week. The guy that drafted you is gone. You're learning a new language, a new league, a new culture, the whole thing. And then what do the Knicks do right away? They're going out and getting Trey Burke. They're trading for Emmanuel Mudiay. So I thought for a young kid, I think he struggled with a lot of that stuff. But you know, he's not a big-time athlete, but I think he's a smart basketball player. He passes the ball. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's going to be the guy that you will see make a significant jump this season. I think people gave up on him a little too quickly, maybe even in a weird way. Maybe the Knicks did as well, because it was kind of, you know, the whole Phil Jackson's guy. But I like Frank Ntilikina. I think he's got a chance to be a very good player. A superstar? No. All-star? I don't know about that, but I think he'd be a very good player.
Not only the Knicks would give up on a kid that's 19 years old in his first year. I mean, what are you talking about? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Right?
I agree. And, you know, a lot of those international players, especially, you know, the guys from France, if you look at Parker, Nicolas Batum, Boris Diaw, you know, those guys are all smart. They all, you know, they have a lot of pride. They work hard. I think, you know, Phil Jackson drafted Porzingis, and he drafted Ntilikina, and I think that'll be kind of Phil's legacy in terms of players on the roster.
But speaking of Porzingis, what do you figure for seeing him, if at all, this year?
I go back to when Paul George got hurt playing with USA Basketball in that exhibition game out in Vegas.
He
ended up coming back. That was in July, and then he came back, I thought, in April, just to kind of say that he came back for the year. Now, it's a different injury. That was a broken bone, a little bit easier to recover from than what Porzingis has. But I would think that Porzingis would want to get out there at some point in March and see what he could do. I doubt you're going to see him before January. And once again, I think the Knicks are probably okay with it, because A, they want him to be 100%, and if they do finish in the lottery, you know, they'll have a, you know, they're going to get a high pick. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Zion Williamson that they'll end up getting.
He's the guy. That's all I hear about. Zion Williamson. Yeah. We'll see. I want to ask you a question. We're talking to Frank Isola, and it's going to lead to my attempt to make a point that you'll probably disagree with, like the LeBron TV show.
Mm.
Who is the best player in the Eastern Conference in your mind right now?
I picked Giannis to win MVP, but I would think if he's healthy, I think it's Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's the most accomplished
player. That's a very fair point. I think that's a very fair point. Yeah. I actually agree with that assessment completely. I think Giannis is. I think if Kawhi can come back and be the old Kawhi, it's probably him. With that said, everybody believes, for the most part, the Celtics are going to win the East. And I understand why. They have the best team. No doubt about it. They're deep. If they're healthy, their coaching is fantastic. Totally get it. But you said something earlier in this interview, which I completely agree with. I think Joe agrees with a lot, too. I don't bet against the best player. The best player in the Eastern Conference, maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's 24 years old, who, if he can develop a three-point shot, which has gotten a little bit better every single year, he could go on to that level of insane superstardom. Why not the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference? Go ahead.
And remember, they went out and they hired a very good coach,
yes,
Mike Budenholzer.
Yes, they did.
That team, already offensively, if you look at the way that they played in their last exhibition game, they had 25 three-pointers in the game. So they're a much better shooting team than they were last year. I know where you're going with this, and I agree. I think Milwaukee will be better than Philadelphia. I think they'll be better than Washington. I think they could be a top four team. My thing about Toronto, though, with Kawhi Leonard, you know, you look at that trade. Once again, let's assume he's healthy. If he's healthy, Kawhi Leonard is a better player than DeMar DeRozan.
Yes. Oh,
and
definitely.
And LeBron James is no longer in the Eastern Conference.
Like
Dwayne Casey used to say, the heck with this, hire me back. Now I got Kawhi Leonard, and I don't have to deal with LeBron anymore. But I do think Boston is the best team. You know, last night, you had Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, won a combined 6 for 26. And the Celtics won by 18 points.
Kyrie hit a shot in the first half, 0 for 8.
He was gone. You know, he was out 6 months, and Gordon Hayward was out 12 months. The Celtics are good, man.
They're very good.
Terry Rozier came off the bench. He played 27 minutes. He was a +22 last night.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz, forget about making a 3-point shot. They didn't even attempt one. I don't know how in today's NBA you can have a backcourt that doesn't even attempt three.
No, and that's the thing. Can they play in the backcourt at the same time together? I mean, think about the spacing.
It's mind-boggling
on
about Simmons with the three-pointers.
Well, and Markel really Fultz has a broken shot. They're not going to send anybody near those guys when they're on the perimeter. The paint's going to be completely clocked. Can they play those guys big minutes together?
I don't. I don't. see it. I mean, I think Redick's going to have to, you need the shooting
yes.
out on the court. And even with guys like last year, remember they had Bellinelli and Ilyasova. They acquired them after the trade deadline, and those guys really helped the team. It spread the court, and that's what you need with Ben Simmons out there. You know, with Philadelphia, and I don't gamble, but I kind of wish I did this one, they were at 54 wins.
Under.
What do you want to bet the under?
Under.
Heck yes.
Oh, just, yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Shocked, as they say.
You could probably still get that bet. They lost last night. You probably still get that
Let
bet.
Me see if I can get it on my FanDuel lab. I'm looking at it
You probably
right
could.
They are not winning. You know, to get to 52 last year, they had to win their last 13 games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you never know about the health of Embiid. He's a walking.
Thank you.
He's always hurt.
He's off the board, man.
I don't see it.
I don't think you can make the bet now. I don't see
it.
Oh,
yeah, once the season starts.
Story of my life.
You know what you're gonna do? What are you gonna do, Frank? Right?
I mean, so you're going Boston, Golden State, I assume, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually out in Golden State a couple weeks ago interviewing their guys. I mean, that's What an organization! What a place that is! And they, you know, their guys could not be better to deal with. I mean, obviously, winning has something to do with that, but it's just the way that they approach everything. That's why it'll be interesting to see what Durant does. Because out there, their thing is like, well, he seems like he's in a great mood and everything is here. But why would he leave? But you never know with Kevin Durant. Look, people that know him say that he's got a wandering eye, and other people say that he's, you know, that he'll change his mind 100 times between now in July. So who knows? But it does seem, you know what they did last night? A little subtle thing that they did during the ring ceremony. The second to last player introduced to get his ring was Steph Curry. The last player they introduced was Kevin Durant.
Mm. They're trying to show him love.
I think that's exact. You know, yeah. It sounds silly.
Well, he's the better player, Frank.
I understand, but it's Steph Curry.
I guess so.
And it's something where Steph Curry could care less when he gets introduced. But I think a guy like Kevin Durant, it doesn't mean that he's going to stay there, but it's like the small little things that I think the organization is going to do throughout the year so Kevin Durant knows that he's loved. And if he does leave, he can't use the "I never felt like they wanted me here" nonsense.
Mm. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the Nets coming into the season?
20 wins 2 years ago, last year, 28. And I think the way people perceive the Nets, and Evan would know it better than me, but I think the fact that not only do they have cap space, but now that they have their own first-round pick, it's almost like they finally now have kind of climbed out of the hole, and they, you know, they're about only neck deep as opposed to being buried by about 8 feet. So it's to me, they finally reached a point which was important where now they could finally really move forward and start rebuilding. But you know, they're looking at it like they want to, you know, to continue to make an improvement and maybe be in playoff contention at some point in March and April. I think they have a very good coach. They had a bunch of guys play over their heads last year, included.
Let's see how
Spencer
good
Dinwiddie.
Coach is. Let's see how good the coach is. Right? Let's see him win games. All right, and we can talk about how good he is.
Whoa!
What? What am I? What?
Wants to see the guy
win
games.
28 games. Let's see him
win
36, 37
games at some point.
Yeah.
Look at their roster. And by the way. Think about the division they're in. I mean, you know, the division with Boston
means nothing.
Toronto and Philadelphia.
This isn't the NFL. This is not. It doesn't matter what division they're in. You're playing four games against most teams in the Eastern Conference. What the hell's the difference?
I get it, but they're going to be buried by the
team. Who cares? I'm not winning any division. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, we got to go, Frank.
Frank,
you
leaving? Frank, congrats. Go ahead, Frank.
This could be the shop.
All right, well, good. That's right. Well, like with LeBron.
Evan's got it nominated for an Emmy. He wants the barbershop that LeBron is fitting to be in the Smithsonian Institute.
Well, when you guys have your own show, you and Evan, don't count on me. I ain't going to be there. So. I want no part of it, Frank.
He's done. He's going to be like
Vessi. I'm done, Frank.
He's going to live on an
island
my God. In a mansion.
Joe, you've been saying that for 15 years. You're done.
No. I haven't been saying it for 15 years, but let me tell you something. This time, it's the truth. Let me put it that way. We'll leave it at that, Frank.
You'll be playing golf there every day. You'll have it really rough.
That's what I'm going to do. That's
what's
my game. That's
that?
My
he
game plan, Frank. You know that.
I have three jobs, Joe. I don't even go on vacation.
Frank,
anymore.
I give you all the credit in the world. I want
no
jobs.
I got college tuition to pay. I'm grinding. Like the
Frank,
players. Have
you're still a young dude,
work.
Frank. Did you even hit 50 yet, Frank?
Yes. I'm getting old, man. Yeah.
You know how old
over.
I am, Frank? We don't even get there.
47.
65, Frank. I'm ancient.
Yeah, right.
I'm ready to retire, Frank. But I love you. Not.
All right, you guys are the best.
See you, Frank.
All right, Frank. All the love, Frank.
Frank Isola.
Great Frank Isola. Yeah.
All I said is I like the show. Simple as that. And I do. I like
so
the
show. So the
show
is set in a barbershop deal, and LeBron and guys are actually getting haircuts as is going on?
Yeah, and they're talking about life and the world, everything. It's entertaining. I find it entertaining.
No,
that's all,
bro.
That's it.
God bless.
Thank you.
You know?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!